This is Barbara Ensor at Civitella, and I'm going to read from my book, Cinderella, As If You Didn't Already Know the Story, published by Random House Penguin. Chapter 6. The massive palace door groaned open, and Cinderella glimpsed a world as orderly and well-mannered as a clock. Impeccably dressed couples danced tidy minuets on elaborately patterned floors. But with Cinderella's entrance into the ballroom, everything stopped. The threads of conversation snapped. Violin strings suddenly stopped vibrating. And even loud colors fell silent. Not a medal or a monocle glistened. Not an ostrich feather wavered. "I say, darling, who is that lovely? Let me see through my opera glasses, Bubsy. Oh, look at that. It is a princess. You can always spot them." There was a gasp as anyone standing near a column leaned against it for strength. Half the guests whispered, "Who is that?" The other half shook their heads and gestured that they didn't know. Above the gold chandeliers, the opulent hors d'oeuvres, the fringed curtains, and the potted palms, stood the king and queen looking down on it all. Up there in that exalted world of cloud-painted ceilings and operatic arias, their crowns had begun to weigh heavily on their heads. You could see it in the lopsided way they smiled at each other. Spellbound, the impeccably dressed couples watched as the prince walked all the way across the giant room to ask Cinderella, with an eloquent gesture, if she would care to dance. "I'd be delighted, Your Highness." Where had she learned to speak as royally as that, Cinderella wondered. And so Cinderella and the prince danced as though they had always known each other. People's necks lengthened, their jokes became funnier, and the tuba player improvised a melodious solo. The laughter, clinking of glasses, straightening of bow ties, and beckoning of waiters became bigger, livelier, and louder. The couple danced and danced, circumventing Doric columns, dodging waiters with silver trays. It was only when they stopped dancing that things got awkward. "Let's get some air," said the prince. "All right," replied Cinderella. They stepped out onto the balcony and into the moonlight. She looked marvelous, he told her. Well, his dancing was sublime, she told him. With nothing left to say, they returned to the ballroom and left the saxophones and violins to speak for them. For the rest of the evening, the music carried them wherever it wanted. They never did get around to exchanging names and phone numbers. Thanks to years of dance instruction, the prince expertly foxtrotted Cinderella over to a red-carpeted part of the room, cordoned off by a velvet rope. A royal mountain of filet mignon and cubes of quivering jello in jewel-like colors awaited. A general was carving some steak. A royal waiter balanced glasses of champagne on a silver tray. Two cousins of the prince helped themselves from dessert tables piled high with whipped cream, studded with imperial berries and flecked with colored sprinkles. "All my favorite foods," the king explained, loudly enough to be heard over the music, as they helped themselves to a little bit of everything. "Why no yellow sprinkles?" Cinderella mouthed back. "I don't like those as much, so they take them out," said the prince. "Oh," Cinderella replied, and her mouth stayed in a circle.